بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. Tomorrow is the 19th day of Ramadan. This day has special significance in Islamic history. It is the day Imam Ali was assassinated 1402 years ago. On that day, Imam Ali was leading the morning prayer in the great mosque of Kufa in today's Iraq. The assassin, Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, was a member of the renegade Muslim group named Khawarij. Ibn Muljam struck Imam Ali's head with a poison-coated sword while he was prostrating. Imam Ali was wounded and died 2 days later. Today, inshallah, I will take a break from my monthly Quran study sermons, and instead I will share with you Imam Ali's last will while he was in his deathbed. His last will to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein is captured in letter 47 in Nahjul Balagha, or The Height of Eloquence, which is a book that contains a selection of Imam Ali's sermons, letters, and words of wisdom. You see, in deathbed, people typically recall what is truly important to them. Some people think of their wealth and how it should be managed after them. Some people worry about their kids, so they talk about what should happen to their kids. But Imam Ali in deathbed recalled what Islam meant to him. And he wanted to share his vision of Islam with his family and his followers. Imam Ali's last will contains about 16 precepts or directives. Inshallah, I will read each directive in the original Arabic, then translate into English and also into Farsi for the benefit of those of you who are more comfortable with the Farsi language. I will also provide a short commentary for each directive given the limited time that I have in this sermon today. So let's begin. Imam Ali begins his last will to his two sons, Hassan and Hussein, as follows. أوصيكما بتقوى الله شما را سفارش می کنم به پروای از خداوند به شرم از خداوند. I advise you to be God conscious, to be God aware. God consciousness is the bedrock of Islam's moral code. It is the foundation of all the ethical teachings of Islam. God consciousness is meant to be the chief trait of a Muslim's character. In a nutshell, God consciousness, God awareness, means that the person is fully aware, is fully mindful that she lives in the presence of God. Once this awareness really sinks in, it will radically alter how she forms her intentions, her thoughts, and her opinions. It radically alters how she makes her decisions, how she interacts with others. This awareness will make God's pleasure, رضایت خداوند, the number one consideration in her decision making. So that is, in a nutshell, what God consciousness means and why it is so important that the Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali, whenever they want to issue directives to people, they start with this phrase, أوصيكما بتقوى الله. All the other directives, all the other pieces of Imam Ali's last will rest on God consciousness. پروای از خداوند. The second directive. وَأَلَّا تَبْقِيَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِنْ بَقَتْكُمَا وَلَا تَأَسُّفَا عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا زُوِيَ عَنْكُمَا. دنیا را طلب نکنید هرچند دنیا شما را طلب کند و اندوهناک نشوید بر چیزی از دنیا که از شما گرفته شده باشد. Do not go after this world, even though it may try to entice you. And do not grieve over things this world denies you. I submit to you that this advice may sound like Imam Ali is asking that we turn our backs to this earthly life and retreat from the affairs of this world. That's not what he means. Let me explain. Dunya, or in English, this world, has dual meanings in the Holy Quran and also in the Islamic literature. One meaning of dunya is earthly life, life in this physical, natural world. But there is a second meaning to dunya in the Quran and the Islamic literature. Dunya also can refer to attachment to anything that is short-lived in this earthly life, things that are transient, things that do not last, such as youthfulness, physical beauty, status, fame, power. All of these things have an expiration date. They are all subject to termination. Dunya also refers to attachment to any of these things, things that are transient in nature. The Quran does not have a dim view of the earthly life in and of itself. However, it does reject developing attachments to things that are short-lived. Let me repeat one more time. The Quran does not reject dunya as this earthly life, but it does reject developing attachments to things that are transient, things that do not last. It is what the Quran has to say. Chapter 57, verse 20. اعلموا انما الحیات الدنیا لعب و لهو و زینت و تفاخر بینکم و تکاثر فی الاموال والاولاد. Bear in mind that this world, dunya, is no more than play and games, adornment and boasting among you, and greed for more and more riches and children. This is how the Quran describes dunya. Then it goes on to say, وَمَا الْحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world, dunya, is an illusory pleasure. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Illusory pleasure. A delusion. This Quranic description is absolutely fascinating. If my life in this earthly life is marked by play and games, if my life is marked by adornment and boasting and greed for more and more riches and children, then I am pursuing an illusion. I am living a life of delusion. I'm building a house on sand. This is a waste of life. I will lose out. Or as the Quran calls it, I will be min al-khasirin, of the losers. This is what Imam Ali warns us against. He warns us against developing attachments to things that are short-lived. He's saying that it is not worth winning short-lived things in this world and losing yourself. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, has an absolutely beautiful saying captured in the Gospel of Matthew. Absolutely beautiful. That is in line with the teaching of the Holy Quran and this directive of Imam Ali. Jesus says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Really fascinating. The next directive. وَقُولَا بِالْحَقِّ وَبِحَقِّ سُخَنْ بِقُوِيدِ. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Al-Haq, or truth, is one of God's beautiful names in the Holy Quran. When you and I say we are Muslims, we submit to God. Essentially, we are saying we submit to truth. So a true Muslim will always speak the truth, even if it harms her interests. A true Muslim will never hide the truth, as the Quran demands. Chapter 2, verse 42. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not cover the truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth when you know it. When you know what the truth is, speak it. Do not mix truth with falsehood to fool people. That is a deviant behavior. A true Muslim should never engage in these sort of deviant behaviors. So Imam Ali says, وَقَوْلَا بِالْحَقْ. Speak the truth. بِحَقْ سُخَنْ بِقُوِيدْ. The next directive. وَأْمَلَا لِلْآخِرَةِ وَبَرَايَ أَنْ جَهَنْ كَارْ كُنِيدْ. Work for the hereafter. Work for the hereafter. You hear this advice from all our religious leaders. You see it in the Quran. You see it in the words of the Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali. What is so significant about afterlife? You see, the gateway to hereafter is Qiyamat. The gateway to hereafter is Qiyamat, or Judgment Day. If you keep Judgment Day in sight and in mind, if you do things that pass muster on Judgment Day, that is, things that are ethical and please God, you have actually worked for the hereafter. In hereafter, you will reap what you have sowed here. So when Imam Ali asks us to work for the hereafter, he is asking us to do things that are ethical and please God, things that will pass muster on the Day of Judgment. Directive number 5. This is really, really important. وَكُونَا لِلظَّالِمِ خَسْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ أَوْنًا. ستمگر را دشمن و ستم دیده را یار و یاور باشید. وَكُونَا لِلظَّالِمِ خَسْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ أَوْنًا. Be an enemy of tyrants and oppressors and a helper of the oppressed. Notice that Imam Ali does not qualify his directive by creed and religious affiliation. Imam Ali doesn't say be an enemy of oppressor if he is a non-Muslim, and be a helper of the oppressed only if he is a Muslim. He doesn't say that. Color of skin, creed, religion and ethnicity, none of these should guide our stance on oppression. Let me be clear. What Imam Ali is saying is this. If the oppressor, for example, if the tyrant is a Muslim clergyman, and the oppressed is a Jew, a Christian, or even an atheist, as Muslims, we must fight against the Muslim clergyman. وَكُونَا لِلظَّالِمِ خَسْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ أَوْنًا. Be an enemy of tyrants and oppressors, and a helper of the oppressed. The next directive. أُوصِيكُمَا وَجَمِيعَ وَلَدِي وَأَهْلِي وَمَنْ بَلَغَهُ كِتَابِي بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَنَظْمِ أَمْرِكُمْ. شما دو تن و همه فرزندان و خاندانم و هر کس که نوشته من به او میرسد را به پروای خداوند و به برنامه ریزی و نظم در کارهایتان سفارش میکنم. I advise you both my children and my other children and members of my family and everyone whom my readings reaches to be God conscious, to be God aware, and to keep your affairs in order. The Arabic word for order is nizam. The thread that runs through prayer beads or tasbih is also called nizam. That thread in your tasbih, in your prayer bead, is called nizam. That thread keeps the beads organized and in order. Order is the basis for the operation of this vast universe. God has infused order into the workings of this universe. This is a reminder that our personal and professional life should be ordered, organized. Unfortunately, despite all the teachings of the Quran and Imam Ali, order is missing badly in Muslim communities everywhere. Everywhere. And I honestly don't understand why. Why is it that we Muslims do not heed the calls of the Quran and the likes of Imam Ali to be ordered, to be organized in our lives? Look at Muslim societies. They are so chaotic. That is a sign that we have deviated from the teachings of our religion and from the pillars of our faith. The next directive, directive number 7. وَصَلَاحِ ذَاتِ بَيْنَكُمْ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ جَدُّكُمَا يَقُولُ صَلَاحُ ذَاتُ الْبَيْنِ أَفْزَلُ مِنْ عَامَّةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ. سفارش می کنم شما را به اصلاح روابطتان و آشتی با یکدیگر، زیرا من از جدتان پیامبر شنیدم که می گفت آشتی در میان خودتان از همه نمازها و روزها برتر است. Maintain good relations among yourselves, for I have heard your grandfather the prophet say, removing enmity, ill feeling and discord is better than all prayers and fasting. Did you hear what the Prophet Muhammad said? Removing enmity, ill feeling, and discord is better than all prayers and fasting. The Prophet's saying is quite eye-opening. He says it is more rewarding, more valuable if you spend your efforts on fostering healthy relationships with people around you than doing your religious chores. Salahu Zatil Bain. That's what the Prophet asked us to do. It means strive to mend and rebuild damaged relationships. If you notice that there is animosity and ill will, bad blood between two people, do not add fuel to the fire. Pour water on the fire. That is what pleases God. Help bridge gaps. As a Muslim, you are instructed by exemplary figures of Islam, such as Imam Ali, help bridge gaps. Remember that gossip and backbiting destroy relationships. It's a sin so egregious that the Quran likens it to eating the flesh of your dead brother. So that's where we need to invest our life and our energy on. Build bridges to other people. Attempt to mend relationships, rebuild damaged relationships. Imam Ali's next two directives aim at creating strong and healthy bonds in our communities. Allah, Allah fil aytam, fala tuqibbu afwahihim, wala yazi'u bihazratikum. خدای را در برابر چشم داشته باشید درباره یتیمان بی سرپرست، مبادا گاهی آنان را سیر نگاه دارید و گاه گرسنه، و مبادا در نزدتان تباه شوند. Keep Allah in view in the matter of orphans. Do not let them starve, and they should not be ruined in your presence. وَاللَّهَ اللَّهَ فِي جَيْرَانِكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ وَسِيَّةُ نَبِيِّكُمْ مَا ظَالَ يُوسِي بِهِمْ حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرَّسُهُمْ. خدای را درباره توجه داشتن به همسایگانتان، زیرا توجه به همسایه سفارش پیامبرتان است. پیوسته درباره آنان چنان سفارش می کرد که گمان می کردیم به زودی آنان را از ارث برندگان قرار می دهد. Keep Allah in view in the matter of your neighbors, because it is your prophet's directive. He advised so much in their favor. We thought he would soon allow them a share in inheritance. Absolutely fascinating, these two directives of Imam Ali. He says the Prophet Muhammad tried to nurture empathy towards neighbors. That's what he tried to instill in his followers, in the early Muslims. Nurturing empathy towards neighbors. The Prophet emphasized empathy towards neighbors so much, his followers thought their neighbors were entitled to a share in inheritance like other family members. In the Abrahamic tradition, two commandments always go hand in hand. Love God and love your neighbor. These two commandments in all Abrahamic religions go hand in hand. Love God and love your neighbor. You will find this twin commandment in the Hebrew Bible, in the Christian scripture, and also in the Holy Quran. Do you know what this commandment really means? It means love of God is nothing but empty words if there is no love for neighbors. If I say I love God, but I don't show love towards my neighbor, essentially my proclamation that I love God is nothing but empty words. In the Abrahamic tradition, neighbor is a metaphor for other people. For other people. It is through loving and caring for others that we show our love for God. Directive 11. Allah, Allah, fil Quran. لا يسبقكم بالعمل به غيركم. خدای را خدای را درباره قرآن مبادا دیگری در عمل کردن به رهنمودهای قرآن از شما سبقت بگیرد. Keep Allah in view in the matter of the Quran. No one should excel and surpass you in following its tenets and in acting upon its commandments. How often do we hear newcomers to the US say, wow, Islam is practiced a lot more here in the US than back home in Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. That's what Imam Ali is warning against. No one should excel and surpass you in following the tenets of Islam, in acting upon the commandments of the Holy Quran. In the next two directives, Imam Ali emphasizes the critical position of ritual daily prayers and the Hajj pilgrimage in Islam. Allah, Allah, fi salat, fa'innaha amudu dinakum. خدای را خدای را درباره نماز زیرا نماز ستون دین شماست. Keep Allah in view in the matter of ritual daily prayer because it is the pillar of your religion. الله الله في بيت ربكم لا تخلوه ما بقيتم فإنه ان ترک لم تناظرو. خدای را خدای را در مواظبت همیشگی از خانه خدا تا در این جهان ماندگارید خانه خدا را تهی مگذارید زیرا اگر رها شود به چشم بزرگ داشت در شما نمی نگرند. Keep Allah in view in the matter of your Lord's house, the Holy Kaaba. Let it not be deserted so long as you live. Because if your Lord's house is abandoned, you, the Muslims, will be lost. The Hajj is the biggest human gathering on earth every year. At Hajj, the human potential for peaceful coexistence is in full view. Let me repeat one more time. This is how we should appreciate Hajj. At Hajj, the human potential for peaceful coexistence is in full view. Hundreds of thousands of people come together as one. Every participant puts on a white garment, a uniform garment, as a sign of complete equality. When a participant of Hajj puts that white garment on, that is a sign of complete equality with the other couple of million people he or she is with. In the Hajj period, all social distinctions, class ranking, color of skin, ethnicity, status, they are all cast aside. One human body under one God. Just imagine if what transpires in Hajj could somehow become a way of life for everyone. This is what Imam Ali is advising us on. Do not let house of God be abandoned. Participate in the pilgrimage. But remember what the philosophy of Hajj is. Don't just go there as if you are going to Maui. It is supposed to be a life-changing experience. It is meant to change you for good. Directive number 14. Allah, Allah, fil jihad bil anwalikum wa anfusikum wa alsinatikum fi sabilillah. خدای را در نظر داشته باشید درباره جهد و کوشش در راه خدا با دارائی ها و جان ها و زبان هایتان. Keep Allah in view. Struggle in the path of God with your tongue, your wealth and your lives. In other words, Imam Ali tells us, use your wealth, use your knowledge, use the power of your tongue for persuasion and your life to do God's work, to do things that please God, because it is only in pleasing God, it's only in things that gets you closer to God that you will have peace, that you will have serenity and inner joy. Directive number 15. وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالتَّوَاصُلِ وَالتَّبَازُلِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّدَابُرَ وَالتَّقَاطُعُ. شما را سفارش می کنم به یک دیگر پیوستن و بخشیدن و بخشیدن. شما را سفارش می کنم به یک دیگر پیوستن و بخشیدن و پرهیز از پشت کردن به یک دیگر و از هم بریدن. I admonish you, I urge you to cement your relationships through forgiveness. I urge you to cement your relationships through forgiveness. And I warn you from turning your backs on each other and severing your ties. I think Rumi probably got his cue from this directive of Imam Ali when he said, تو برای وصل کردن آمدی نه برای فصل کردن آمدی. You have come to unite, not to sever. God's messengers all came to bring people together, not to push them apart. As Muslims, as people of faith, this should be our guiding light. We should strive to unite, not to sever. Brothers and sisters, do not turn your back on your mom and dad because of piddly disagreements. Do not turn your backs to your kids and your spouses and your friends because of disagreements. Practice forgiveness. Rebuild your damaged relationships through forgiveness. This is the advice of Imam Ali on his deathbed. Directive number 16. ولا تترك الامر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر فيولى عليكم شراركم ثم تدعون فلا يستجاب لكم. امر به معروف و نهی از منکر را رها نکنید که در نتیجه بدترین کسان خودتان بر شما مسلط می شوند و آنگاه برای رهایی از دستشان به درگاه خدا دعا می کنید، ولی دعایتان به اجابت نمی رسد. Do not give up promoting what is right and preventing what is wrong. Otherwise, the vicious and the wicked will become your rulers. Then you will pray to God to get rid of them, but your prayers will not be answered. امر به معروف and نهی از منکر is an important Quranic injunction. It is meant to be an integral part of being a Muslim. This is how the Quran describes it. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You are the best community singled out for humanity because you promote what is right and forbid what is wrong. You see, in Quranic view, what makes a community, a nation, the best is that its members do not sit on the sidelines and watch the events unfold. They are not indifferent to their social and political destiny. They are involved in their community's affairs. Imam Ali says, if you abandon your social responsibility and let wicked people come to power, don't waste your time praying to God to intervene on your behalf and get rid of them. God will not answer your prayer. Guaranteed, He won't. Your prayer will not even reach God's desk. You see, in general, when the path for achieving a goal is known, there is no sense in praying to God. If you pray on that matter, your prayer will be completely ignored because God has already shown you the path for achieving that goal. Let me give you an example. If a person is lazy and doesn't go find work, and then he prays to God to provide for him, that prayer will be ignored. And by the way, that's why a great number of our prayers never get answered. Many of our prayers never get answered because we need to act, not God. God has already shown us the path for reaching our goals. All we need to do is use our brains and energy and act to reach our goals. Imam Ali ends his will with instructions to his family on what to do with his assassin, Ibn Muljam. Think about it. The head of the Muslim empire has been assassinated by a member of a terrorist organization, Khawarij. How should the state respond? Remember, this happened 1400 years ago when there was no Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Listen to what Imam Ali asked his sons, Hassan and Hussein, to do with his assassin, ابن ملجم. فرزندان عبدالمطلب، مبادا شما را بیابم که در ریختن خون مسلمانان سخت فرو رفته اید و میگویید امیر مؤمنان کشته شد. بدانید که جز کشنده ام نباید به خاطر من کسی کشته شود. بنگرید اگر من با همین ضربت او مردم، تنها یک ضربت به او بزنید و نباید اندام آن مرد بریده شود، نباید مسله شود، زیرا من از پیامبر خدا شنیدم که می فرمود شما را زنهار می دهم از اندام بریدن، از مسله کردن، اگرچه اندام سگ گزنده باشد. Oh my family, I do not wish to see you plunging harshly into the blood of Muslims. Do not go on a rampage with drawn swords with the slogan Amir al-Mu'minin Ali is killed. No one should be killed except my murderer. Wait until I die by the assassin's stroke. Then strike him only one stroke for his stroke. He must not be tortured. Do not dismember his limbs, for I have heard the Prophet say, avoid cutting limbs, even though it may be a rabid dog. This was the will of Imam Ali, the will of a man who was raised by the Islam's Prophet Muhammad. In his deathbed, Imam Ali recalled what Islam meant to him. I sincerely hope that all of us, today's Muslims, learn Islam from the likes of Imam Ali. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.